there are a lot of important relationship skills. But maybe the two most important are our ability to celebrate differences in other people and also to master the inner wisdom of something called a whole body yes. We are going to work on these two skills today. So let's get to it.
Welcome to the Attracting Lasting Love podcast, presented by CoachingWithRoy.com. You found the place where single adults come for mindful wisdom and insight into how to attract and create healthy, lasting, conscious relationships. And now, here's your host, the owner of CoachingWithRoy.com, number one best-selling author, certified relationship coach, and TV analyst, Roy Biancalana.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another edition of the Attracting Lasting Love podcast. My name is Roy Biancalana, and we are doing part two of a six-part series that I have titled Making Sense of Life's Contradictions. I think it's a fascinating thing to recognize that life is full of contradictions. Life is full of situations where this is true and that is true, but they seem to contradict each other. And I actually believe that one of the skills that we need in order to lead effective lives and certainly have healthy relationships with others is the ability to make sense of these contradictions and to live in the midst of them and perhaps even to find balance with them. So that's what this whole series is about. This is about improving our relationship skills by exploring a variety of contradictory ideas. And as we explore them, I think we become more skillful at living and loving. So last week in part one, we took the issues of accepting and action, and we talked about those because they seem contradictory. Accepting is, well, I'm not doing it. I'm accepting. I accept the way it is. And it sounds like it leads to complacency or inaction. But we all know that as much as we need to accept reality, because it's kind of insane to argue with what's real, we also need to take action. But if we're accepting, then we wouldn't take action, right? Wrong. So we explored that to recognize that when you accept reality, you put yourself in a better state of mind to take appropriate action. So that's an example of two things being true: accepting reality and taking action. Those are both true things, but they seem contradictory until you look closer and you find that the real life skill is in doing both and finding a balance. So that's what this whole series is about. And today, we are going to talk about thinking and feeling. Okay? And this can really push some buttons. Because when you start getting into this dynamic of thoughts versus emotions, you're going to get some people who really feel like one is far more important than the other. The people who are thinkers often get very condescending and look down on people who live by their emotions. No, they just fly off the handle and they're all over the place and they're changing like the weather and they never give thoughtfulness to anything. They, you know, that all that stuff. And then people that live in the emotions feel like people that live in their heads are just Neanderthals and cavemen, and they miss the nuances of life and the real deeper issues, right? And right there, it's so fun to notice and ask, well, who's right? The thinkers or the feelers? Well, they both are, aren't they? Like the thinkers, they're right. Thoughts and rationality and common sense and evaluating things and pros and cons and learning from the past and making thoughtful decisions. Yeah, that's important. But so is the emotional side. They got a point too. So both are right. That's a life skill right there. Recognizing that everybody's right, but not anybody is completely right. So thinkers have something important to say. Feelers have something important to say. And they're both right. Now, where do we go with that? Well, I'd like to start in a little bit of a playful place. And it's a little risky because I'm not sure if the analogy I'm going to use, I'm not sure if you're going to know what I'm talking about. But I want to point to two of my favorite characters in the sitcom, The Big Bang Theory. Okay? It's a very famous sitcom in the United States. You can certainly go to YouTube, no matter where you are in the world, and watch some episodes. I'm imagining, I've never done it, but I know you can find stuff, you know, online. But two of my favorite characters are Sheldon and Penny. I think those two are the stars of the show. And what's so interesting about them is Sheldon is this scientist who has zero clue about anything emotional. He has no idea. He can't pick up when people are being sarcastic. He doesn't know if people are angry or sad or scared. He has no emotional intelligence whatsoever. He's just a genius. He lives in his head. And it's just hilarious on the show to watch this scientist person with no emotional smarts at all deal with Penny, who's the complete opposite, right? She's not a genius. She didn't go to college. She doesn't have a PhD, right? She's not intellectually smart, but she's a genius in emotions, in people, in feelings, right? She can connect with people. She can feel the heart. She knows what's going on in relationships without anybody even having to say anything, because she lives in that energetic realm. She's comfortable with that. And so it's hilarious to see Sheldon make fun of her for being stupid and for her to make fun of Sheldon for being such a caveman, for being, you know, such an imbecile on anything relational. Okay? And of course, they try to change each other. They're not dating. They're not in any sexual relationship. But Penny's always trying to open Sheldon's eyes to emotions and feelings and his own feelings and her feelings or anybody's feelings. And he's always trying to teach her science and how to make rational decisions and, you know, make decisions with boyfriends that are not backfiring her on her and so forth. So those two are hilarious, and they are the epitomes of the EQ versus IQ debate, which is sort of what we're talking about in today's episode. Thinking versus feeling. Which is more important? And we already know that's the wrong question. They're both important. The deeper question is, who are you? Are you more like Sheldon? Are you on his end of the spectrum? Or are you more like Penny and on her end of the spectrum? Because I'm maintaining that while we all have a side of the equation of thinking and feeling that we're more comfortable with, if we want to be relationally successful, we really do need to improve on the part of us that we are not good at. Like if you're a Sheldon type, you need to learn a little bit from Penny. You need to bring your Penny online a little bit if you want to relate successfully in this world, whether it's at work or at home. You know, there's a lot of research in the last 20 years, a book written by, I think it was Daniel Goleman, called The Emotional Intelligence. And the whole idea of the emotional intelligence kind of philosophy that's really blossomed is that they've discovered that the people who are emotionally intelligent in the workplace are going farther in their careers than just the people who have this rational, scientific, intellectual intelligence. You want to get anywhere in your career, you need to have emotional intelligence. And I'm just here to say, if you want to get anywhere in your love life, you need to have some emotional intelligence. But that's not to say that the emotionally intelligent, like Penny, don't have anything to learn. Well, yeah, they do. Because when you're governed by your emotions, you can do all kinds of crazy things and self-sabotaging things and overreact to things and get in a lot of drama when you don't have that kind of inner intellectually rational person online inside of you saying, wait a minute, let's give this some thought. Let's kind of do a little evaluation of this. Are you sure you want to go there, do that, say that? Like, is that the smart thing to do here? I know how you feel, but, right? So I think when we are our best version of ourselves, we have our preference, but we have that other part of us easily accessible, and it's welcomed within us. We don't dishonor our side of ourselves that's not our preference. So an example would be like, I have a right hand and a left hand, right? So do you, most likely, unless you've had an accident. You have two arms, two hands. Well, you're probably right-handed or left-handed, right? If you can't use your offhand, you're going to lead a very limited life. You need both to really function. Yeah, if you're right-handed, that's my favorite hand, and I write with that, or I throw a ball with that, fine. But that left hand's important. You need to have both of them. You may never become ambidextrous where you can use either equally well, okay? No, there's very few people like that. And there's very few people that are geniuses in the intellectual and the energetic emotional worlds. We all have a right hand and a left hand. But if we're going to be skillful in life and connected in relationships, man, we have to identify our weakness and do something to improve it. Okay? So right there, that might be something you know you need to do. I need to work on my emotional intelligence. Or I need to work on my critical thinking. I go off half-cocked, and I've blown up relationships, and I've hurt my career, and I've just created some drama because my emotions run wild, and they get a hold of me, and I end up leaving some debris in my wake. So I need, you know, to develop this other part of me that maybe can keep my emotions in check a little bit. Not to get rid of them, not to diminish them, but maybe to create more balance. Do you follow me? So that's maybe one of your first relationship skills. Like, if I'm right-handed, I need to work on my left hand a little bit. Like a basketball player, right? A great basketball player is right-handed or left-handed. The great basketball players learn to use both. But Michael Jordan always shot the ball with his right hand. But he could dribble with his left. He could dunk with his left. He could shoot layups with his left. But if he was pulling up to shoot a three-pointer, oh no, it's his right hand. Because that's his baby. Right? But he was the best because he could go both directions. So that may be the first challenge. But here's the second one. There is no way for you to be successful in life or in relationships if you don't learn to celebrate the fact that we are all different. Because that's what we're getting at here, thinking and feeling, thinkers and feelers. People are different. They're different from you. So they're different in these concrete ways of thinking and feeling, because you know what's going to happen, don't you? You've already experienced this. Opposites attract. So if you're a thinker, you're going to find yourself turned on by feelers and vice versa. It's nuts. It's weird. It's just true. Okay? Not in every case, okay? But most of the time, thinkers and feelers find themselves attracted to each other. Well, how is that relationship going to go if you don't learn to appreciate their way of being in the world? What if you just relate and say, you know what, I'm going to change that person to be like me. I'm going to criticize him and try to control him and change him. How's that going to work? How long is that relationship going to last? Right? It's not going to go anywhere. The only way it works is by being with someone and learning to appreciate and celebrate their way of being in the world. Maybe you can learn something from them. Maybe they might protect you from going half-cocked. Like if you're a really emotionally oriented and driven person, it might be pretty good for you to have a person in your life who is thoughtful and smart and weighs the pros and cons and, you know what I mean, that can say, whoa, hold on a minute there before you go off half-cocked, right? And vice versa. If I'm a thinker and I live in this black and white world in my head like Sheldon, man, could I use someone in my life that can show me that there's a whole nother way to be, that there's a whole world out there to be discovered and to be integrated, right? So to me, a really mature human being is the combination of Sheldon and Penny. You blur them together and you've got genius on both sides, right? But Sheldon and Penny, for humor purposes, never celebrated each other. They made fun of each other. They tried to change each other. It's hilarious, right? It's not funny in real life, right? That's what's called drama. So a big relationship skill is the ability to first recognize I'm going to be attracted to someone who's different than me. And then secondly, if I see that as a problem, I'm screwing myself. I've got to see that as something worthy of celebration. I want to appreciate that. I want to see my partner, right? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, right? Now there's some problems with that title because not all men are masculine. Not all women are feminine. So not all men are from Mars. Okay. The masculine is from Mars. The feminine is from Mars. But those are energies. They're not genders. And we'll get to that in part 6 of this series. Right. But the idea of men are from Mars, women are from Venus, that's the idea. But can you celebrate that you're in a relationship with somebody from a different planet? Okay? But it's even more than that, folks. Now, think about this. Men are not from Mars, women are from Venus. Everybody is from their own planet. Everybody grew up in their own environment, had their own experiences, and went through things, learned things, were affected by things, dealt with things. Every single person has had a completely unique life. There are not two people on the planet that have had the same life. I don't care if you are identical twins and you grew up and your parents dressed you the same and took you everywhere the same. You still have different conversations with people. You have different interactions with your parents. You have different interactions in school. You have your own unique experience that has framed who you are. You are conditioned. Your mind is conditioned by your past experiences. Okay? That's just the psychology of truth. You are your mind is the sum of your learned experiences. I believe that was B.F. Skinner who said that. You are the sum of your learned experiences, or I should say your mind is. And we've all had different experiences. So it's not just men are different from women or men are from Mars. No, every single person is from their own planet. So the implication of this is that whoever you relate with, whether it's your kids, your siblings, your parents, your coworkers, your friends, or an intimate partner, no one is like you. Nobody has had your experiences. I don't care if you went to the same high school, the same college, the same sorority, you worked for the same company, you grew up in the same town. Sorry. You have a completely unique experience and a unique history. So you aren't like anyone on the planet. So if we don't have the ability to appreciate people that are different, we are fucked. Okay. Does that make sense? There's nobody like you. So if you're going to get along with anyone, be close to anyone. If you think to be close to someone, they either have to be like me, you're screwed because no one's like you, or I have to get them to be like me, good luck with that. So the only way to have any kind of successful relationship is if you learn to really appreciate that people are really different from you. They see God and religion different. They see politics different. Of course they do. They were raised in different religious environments or no religious environment. They were raised in political environments. They were raised in whatever environment. So of course they think the way they think. I often say, don't judge a person like in Hamas that killed a bunch of Jews on October 7th. Don't judge that. It makes perfect sense that they would do that. They've been taught that they should kill a Jew at every chance they get since the moment they could understand language. Of course they're going to do that. That doesn't mean you let them do it. It doesn't mean you don't put a stop to it, but you begin to understand just the dynamics of the human mind is that what people believe and what they do and the actions they take make complete sense to them based upon their background, their conditioning, their experiences. Okay, so we're all conditioned. We're all unique. And the only way you can get along with anyone is if you begin to appreciate that you see the world differently. My wife and I don't agree on everything politically, not even close. We don't move at the same pace of life. She doesn't necessarily think evolution is true, and I do. Okay? Who cares? Of course, she believes what she believes about politics or religion or about all kinds of things based on her life experiences. So if I got to be with a woman who sees everything like me or even the major things like me, I'm going to be single. So the issue is not finding someone who sees everything like you. The issue is growing up enough to recognize, no, it's about celebrating differences and not seeing that I'm right and they're wrong. You just think you're right because you've been exposed to that and it seems right to you. But they were exposed to something different and it seems right to them. So you're conservative and they're liberal. I always laugh when I talk to clients. They're like, oh, I could never date someone who's a part of the other party. And I'm like, you just told me that you're spiritually immature. That's what you told me. Because you can't handle a person seeing the world differently than you. Because you are so convinced that you are right and they are wrong that you judge them and you can't relate with them. And they might be an amazing partner for you, but you can't set aside your political or religious beliefs. I do the same thing when someone says, oh, I'm a Christian and I could never date someone who doesn't believe that Jesus is this and that, or I'm Muslim, or I'm an atheist. Oh, I'm an atheist. I can never believe with that anyone who believes in God. I'm like, okay, you're just telling me you're immature. Because we're all different. And your beliefs are meaningless. My beliefs are meaningless. They just come from my background and my experiences. They're just my stories about life. They're meaningless. I mean, I have my opinions on religion and God and politics and all that stuff. But I don't take them seriously because I know they just come from my background. And if I lived a different life and was raised by different people and had different experiences, then I'd be a completely different political person. And I'd see God differently. And I would see all kinds of things differently. It's just because I grew up the way I grew up. And I've had the experiences for 64 years that I've had. And so this is what I got. A mind that sees the world this way. But I don't trust that. Because I realize that what my mind believes is just based on its limited experience. There's a lot going on this planet and in this universe that I've never experienced. So how could I ever think I'm right? How could I ever think that I have the truth and that someone else is wrong and is living in falsehood? That is so naive. Right? So you begin to understand these things. And that allows you to recognize compatibility doesn't have anything to do with that kind of thing. There is no such thing as compatible if it means people are going to have shared perspectives. You're not. I mean, you might find someone who has the same politics as you or believes in God the same way as you, but it won't take you long to find out that they see the world differently in other ways, and those other ways can be just as significant. So my point is, in order to be in a relationship, you are always going to find something about the other person that you don't agree on, because you're not the same. You don't see the world the same way. There's always going to be some rub. There's going to be something different. And it might be that you're a thinking-based person and they're an emotions-based person. Could be all kinds of other things. So if you can't celebrate differences and let go of being right and trying to change everyone to be like you in order to be in a friendship with you or a relationship with you, you're screwed, right? I mean, I think you understand that, don't you? Now, I know I push some buttons when I mention religion or politics. Those are just two of the best examples of how we get attached to our thinking and we think that we're right. And then we disregard other people. We push them away and we begin to think that what compatibility is that we agree on those things. But those are just the low-hanging fruit. There are a zillion ways that you are going to find out that you are different from the person that you're in a relationship with. I don't care if it's your kids or your parents or your coworkers or your lover. Probably the premier skill is to recognize that we were all born on a different planet. And the only way we get along is by learning to appreciate differences. And that is certainly true when you discover you're in a relationship with someone who moves in the world by their feelings rather than by their thoughts. Does that make sense? Okay. Where I want to go now is I want to go and talk about another relationship skill that sort of combines everything that we've just talked about. Because what I'm saying is, if you're just right-handed or thinking, you're sort of incomplete. You do need to have some emotional intelligence too. And now I want to make the point that both of these have their problems. So I just railed on the thought things, your beliefs, your stories about God, politics, men, women. We all have our opinions, our thoughts, our judgments, right? And I just made the point that you really can't trust your thoughts because they are limited to what you've experienced. You don't have access to all the wisdom in the universe in your own personal experience. So you don't trust your thinking implicitly because you know it's limited to what I've gone through. So then you live a more curious life about, you know, maybe there's things that I have never experienced that I could learn. Maybe I could learn a new way of looking at a problem or a new way of seeing an issue. One of the things that Einstein said that made him a genius was he would sit with questions for 20 years in curiosity and just wonder what he wasn't seeing. He knew that he was stupid. That's what made Einstein a genius. He knew that he didn't know everything. And so he was always learning. He was always curious. He was always obsessed with, what don't I know? What am I missing? I know how I think now. I know what I see now. But that's a sliver of what's going on. I'm more interested in knowing what I don't know than trying to tell everybody what I do know. That is genius. That makes a person intellectually smart. Like I recently heard, someone said this online, Twitter, maybe it was YouTube or Facebook or something. It was in a fitness conversation, okay? And it was, and the comment was something like, the people that really know about nutrition and fitness, you will hear them say, I don't know, very often. The people that really know what they're talking about know that they don't know everything, that there's more to be learned, there's more to be discovered. So they don't make these definitive statements, all carbs are bad. You know what I mean? They don't do that. The people that are really smart are more like, you know, I think so. There's more to be learned here. This is what the science is showing so far. But, you know, science grows and learns and discovers. So I don't know. I'm not positive. I once heard Peter Attia, who's one of the world's leading experts on longevity, including nutrition and fitness and so forth. They asked him about, what can you say about nutrition that you can say absolutely, fundamentally is true? Without a doubt. Give me all the things that you know are absolutely true when it comes to nutrition. And he said, you know, the only thing I know for sure is that we either eat too much or too little. That's it. Nothing else is decided. We either put too much in our bodies or we don't give ourselves enough nutrients. That is an absolute truth. But the carbs and fats and proteins and, you know, intermittent fasting and all these other diets, he's like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of science that goes back and forth. That's a genius who knows he's smart enough to know he doesn't know everything. But it's the people that make these claims, you know, this is the truth, right? And they got it all figured out. Those are the people that you shouldn't trust. Same with your own mind. If your mind is telling you I'm right and they're wrong, nah. If you were really awake, you would know that the things you write are so limited. You know, the things you think are right are so limited to your experiences that you would never trust that voice in your head. In one of my books, I talk about firing your inner relationship coach. right? You've got a little voice in your head that tells you about relationships, about why men do what men do and why they did that and what it means when they don't do that. And this person said that, so it means this. Fire that voice because it's full of shit. Your inner wisdom, that voice in your head, is only speaking from its experience. And therefore, man, you shouldn't trust that. You follow me? But here's where it gets interesting. Because the emotional people that are listening to this right now, they are going, yeah, Roy, you preach it, brother. All those people that are living in their heads and their all their beliefs and their stories. Emotions is where it's at, man. Your emotions are where the wisdom is. The emotions are what can really be trusted, right? And I'm like, ooh, I'm coming for you. Where do you think trauma is stored? In your head or in your body? Where do you think all your past pain is stored? It's in your body. Where do you think all those emotions are coming from? Your pain and your trauma. You can no more trust your emotions than you can trust your thoughts. Because your emotions are simply the smoke rising off of your repressed memories, your repressed energies, your repressed pain and suffering. Your emotions are the smoke that are just arising up off of that stuff. Now, that doesn't mean every emotion you have shouldn't be trusted, just like it doesn't mean every thought you have shouldn't be trusted. But it needs to be verified. You need to be skeptical of your thinking. Hey, you know, I know I think this way. I know this is my opinion, but I could be wrong. I'm open to learning. I'm open to a different perspective. I'm willing to listen. And I have this feeling. And I think it means this. But I'm open to maybe this feeling is being distorted by some unresolved issue with my mother or my father. Maybe I have an abandonment wound. So maybe I should be a little skeptical of my anger or my sadness. Maybe I shouldn't be trusting these emotions like they are pure wisdom from God. No, maybe they're the smoke rising up off of the junk that I've stored within me. So both your thoughts and your emotions can be trusted, but maybe not. Maybe neither is complete. Maybe there's some checks and balances, which is what I want to get to now. I want to talk about a relationship skill called a whole body yes. And this is a checks and balances. See, what the whole body yes says is that a conscious, wise person, a mindful person, doesn't do anything. They don't make a decision. They don't take a job. They don't go on a second date with. They don't decide to have sex. They don't decide to put their kids in a school or, I don't know, there's a thousand different things. They don't decide to move forward if they don't feel a complete alignment within them between their head, their heart, and their gut. Okay? We have wisdom centers in us. And all I'm saying is, unto themselves, none of them should be trusted. But you put them together and you are going to be in a much better place. Okay, so your head alone should not be trusted for the reasons we've said. Your heart, your emotions, your gut, your instincts. Where do your instincts come from? Right? I mean, they're based upon your past. If you have an instinct, you have a general sense, you have a an inkling, right? It's, I just get the sense about this. Something feels off about this. My instincts tell me that's coming from, on some level, you've experienced something similar to the situation. And so your instinct is coming from the similarity of an experience. Well, what if you had a completely different experience? Then you meet some guy, and instead of having an instinct like, I don't think I can trust him, because there was something in your past where your father or someone else said something or did something, and that turned out to be hurtful for you or someone in your family, and it's kind of a buried thing in you. And then you meet some guy and they do something and it sort of unconsciously reminds you of that. And then you're like, you know, I don't know. I just get a bad feeling about this guy. But what if you had other experiences in your childhood that led you to say, you know what? I have a really good feeling about this guy. So in other words, you're not seeing the guy for who he is. You're seeing him through your past experiences, unconsciously. That's what your instincts are. You're sort of unconsciously feeling something about a situation, or getting a leading or getting an inkling about something that's based upon some familiar thing in your past. But since you haven't experienced everything there is to experience in the universe, your instincts are skewed. They're skewed to your experiences. Okay? So what a wise person says, if I'm going to trust myself, then I'm only going to trust myself when my head, my heart, and my gut are all in alignment. They're all on board with a decision, with a choice. I have no second thoughts. I have no glitch in my heart. I have no instinct that's saying, oh, I'm not so sure. Everything's in alignment. I have a whole body yes, not just a head yes, not just an instinctual yes, not just, oh, it feels good yes. Everything is in alignment here. So a wise person doesn't do anything if they feel any glitch within them. If there's any glitch, if it's 95% yes, and there's a little glitch somewhere, the answer is no. Now, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm saying no to this. I just know that there's something in me that doesn't feel right. I can't explain it. But until I feel everything within me say yes to something, I'm not dating you. I'm not marrying you. I'm not taking that job. I'm not going out for pizza. Right? I often make the joke to illustrate this. I used to live in Florida, and in my experience, there's not any really good pizza in Florida, okay, at least where I was living. And so I often make the joke that if Lou Malnati's, a famous pizza place here in Chicago that's incredible, if Lou Malnati's was opening a franchise where I lived in Florida and someone said, hey, Roy, did you hear there's a Lou Malnati's opening up this Friday? Do you want to go? Hell yes. Right? Everything's in me. Like, absolutely. There's no, if it was, yeah, but I'm on a diet right now, so then I wouldn't go. Yeah, I mean, I want it. I know it would feel good, but, right? So Lou Malnati's is a whole body yes. And a wise person lives like that. They do things when they are not fighting against themselves. Have you noticed how often we make decisions about significant things? Maybe not just eating a pizza, but we're at odds with ourselves. Like our feelings are fighting our thoughts, and our thoughts are fighting our instincts, and we're fighting against each other. We're trying to talk ourselves into it. Like, I know I shouldn't. I really know I shouldn't do this, but man, he's so cute. So you're fighting in there. That's what you have to notice, that I'm not in alignment right now. And a life skill is I don't do that. I don't do things if I'm fighting myself. I don't go against my thoughts or my feelings or my instincts. It's only when all of them are in alignment that I'm like, yes. Yes, I'm going to put my kid in that school. Yes, I'm going to date this person. Yes, I'm ready to have sex. Yes, I'm going to take that job. There's nothing holding me back. Now, there are some caveats to this, right? Like, if you've got a fear of being close, right? Some fear of commitment or like an abandonment wound or something, you know, then that kind of thing can cloud your ability to read your energies on the inside, right? So I want to break up with this guy. I don't think he's right, but is that just because I'm afraid of commitment, right? So there's some skill here to be able to separate the wisdom in your head, your heart, and your gut from some neurotic stuff, right? And that's really where coaching comes into play, where you talk to someone who's not involved in it and they can hold a space for you and ask questions and help you explore. Because there's a lot of things I would never do in life if I felt afraid and if I felt, because I'm a little afraid or I'm a little scared, well, that means I shouldn't do it. Then I would never play in a professional golf tournament because I'm nervous on the first hole of every tournament. Even if I'm the favorite to win, I'm still nervous. Oh, well, I'm nervous, so that must mean I don't have a whole body. Yes. No, it doesn't. Just means you're neurotic, Roy, and you're so worried about your image that you get nervous. But do you want to be here? Hell yes, I want to play. Everything in me wants to play, and I'm scared. So it's like, hell yes, I want to date this person, right? My thoughts, my emotions, my heart, my instincts, everything's yes. Am I scared of getting hurt? Yeah. Am I scared that maybe I'll discover something that is not going to work? Yeah. But that's not going to stop me, right? Not that I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let that, see what I mean? So it gets a little complicated here. But for the most part, if you develop the skills of celebrating sort of your own differences, and then you celebrate how different you are from other people, and you really begin to appreciate, you have that skill of everybody's different from me. Everybody's from a different planet. That's cool. I'm going to learn from everybody. I'm not trying to change anybody. I'm not expecting anyone to see the world the way I do. That's ridiculous. Right? So then you have the skill of being able to relate with people because you're celebrating that they're different rather than seeing them as an enemy or something in some way. And then you work on this whole body yes thing. I want to make impeccable decisions, right? I really want to be able to trust myself. But that's not trusting just my feelings. That's trusting if everything is not in alignment, then the answer is no. And this happens. And it's difficult to do because nobody around you lives this way, which is the truth for all conscious wisdom I might bring you on this podcast. There's conventional wisdom. No, and that's how everybody does it. The conscious approach is what I'm giving you here. The mindful approach is done by very few people. And so you're not going to get people that celebrate this in you. So they ask you to do something or perhaps you broke up with someone and you're like, oh, you broke up with that person? Yeah. Well, I remember you being really excited about them. I remember you this and that. So yeah, I know. And I still am. The more I was around them, I can't explain it. But there's a holdback in me. And I don't think it's my fear of commitment or my abandonment issues or anything like that. There's a glitch and I can't explain it, But I let him go. You're out of your mind. What's wrong with you? You can't tell me why you broke up with him? Nope, I really can't. Well, you're insane, right? So that's what you're going to get. I understood this. Maybe I shared this before. One of my close buddies, Jim, we play golf together as often as we can, which isn't that often. So when we can play, it's kind of really nice. And I remember a couple of years ago, I invited Jim to play with me. It was a Thursday, like Thursday of next week. Left him a voicemail, stuff. He called me back. He said, Roy, I've been thinking about the invitation to play golf on Thursday, and I just have to say no. I'm like, well, really? He said, yeah, and I don't know why. I mean, it's not like I'm busy that day. It doesn't feel right. Now, I know what he's doing. So I'm like, dude, trust that. You shouldn't play. Don't go against that. But you're not going to get that response because a lot of people don't understand. They're going to say, why don't you want to play golf? You don't have a reason not to play golf? What the hell's wrong with you? Are you mad at me? Are you repressing something? You know, and the issue is, no, my buddy Jim would never be repressed. He would tell me something if he was mad at me about something. He wasn't. He says, there's something in me. And I honor that. So I'm not coming. I'm like, good. Awesome. I support that. And I'll invite him to play some other time. And we've played. Right? So my point is that it's difficult to live this way because, first of all, it's difficult to trust yourself in these ways. But you do end up saying no to things that sometimes a lot of you is like, but I really want to say yes, but I'm not completely 100%. I don't have a whole body yes. So if I don't have a whole body yes, the answer is no. And you're not going to understand. And the people you're saying no to are not going to understand. They're not going to celebrate that in you unless they understand these things. Then they would tell you, don't you dare do anything with me without a whole body yes. See, but when you live this way, notice how trustworthy you become. See, because I know that if I invite Jim to have lunch with me, if he says yes, I know that everything in him wants to be there. There is no holdback. He is completely wanting to be there. So I know when people live this way, when they're relating with me, I know you want to be here. You have no ulterior motive. You have no hidden feelings. You have, right? Think about dating someone when they ask you out for a date that they would never ask you if they didn't, if unless everything within them was like, yeah, do I want to spend time with her? Do I want to spend time with him? Don't you want that? To know how much trust would there be when you know a person operates that way? Well, you know how you attract people like that? You live that way. That's the law of attraction. Like attracts like. When you start living this way, you'll chase away people that want to play games. But you can start showing up in the world this way. I'm only going out with you because everything within me wants to be here. I'm not here like, I don't know. I didn't have anything better to do. And a few things about this whole thing really bother me. And so I'm just here. I mean, now, not that you would never go on a first date because you don't know everything about a person. You meet them online. You go on one date. You don't know everything about them. But you can go on a date with them saying, what I do know about them, I'm all yes. Well, then you might discover something that you didn't know before. And then it's like, oh, well, I didn't know she's a smoker. Like for me, once I find that out, okay, now doesn't matter how beautiful you are. I don't date smokers. Okay? So what you're saying is I operate by the whole body yes principle. Given what I know in this moment. So I'm not going to go out with you if I read something in your profile that's kind of like, ooh, that's trouble. That's a turnoff. I don't know about that. Right? Then don't go out with them. Well, you know, they're cute, and there's a couple other things that I really liked about them. And yeah, that was a problem. Yeah, that's an issue. And I suppose you could go out with him and ask him about that. Hey, listen, I'm here with you. Sort of breaking a commitment I have to myself. Because I don't ever want to go out with someone unless everything within me says yes. And I'm here, and I have a little glitch. Can I talk to you about that thing you wrote in your profile? Because that was alarming to me. That set something off. I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood you. Maybe you don't mean what I thought it meant. So I'm going to talk about that with you. And then if they say, no, you understood that correctly, you get up and you walk away. Thank you. Well, then this isn't the right fit for me. And you just get up and you leave. But maybe you find out, oh, is that how you read that? Oh, no, I didn't mean it that way. I was just trying to be funny. And like, oh, well, now that little glitch, it's taken care of. Well, now I got a whole body yes about being here, right? So we need to bring some wisdom to the whole body yes thing. You can't get militaristic with it. It's a skill that you need to develop. And you learn to learn the nuances. And so that's what I do as a coach, is I help you learn the nuances of these things. And I help you either develop your feeling side. Like if you're Penny, I'm going to help you get some Sheldon. If you're all Sheldon, I'm going to help you get some Penny, right? So that you're a more well-rounded person with relationship skills. Okay? All right. So kind of a complicated conversation. I hope it was useful. And so let me just tell you about next week, because next week a real contradictory issue comes up. The issue between compassion and responsibility. We see this being played out everywhere. Somebody does something. Do we show compassion and understanding, or do we ask them to take responsibility for what they've done? Like, how do we work the issue of individual responsibility and being compassionate? And if we can't figure that out, our relationships are going to blow up. Because if there's no responsibility, then people do things and they can hurt you, and all you do is have compassion and you won't set any boundaries. But if all you've got is individual responsibility and you don't have any understanding, any compassion, then you're going to start writing off people left and right and never give anybody a chance to grow and learn and change. Follow me? So this issue of compassion and responsibility is fundamental, and we're going to do that next week. So until then, take care, have a great week, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Attracting Lasting Love with Roy Biancalana. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and review and share it with anyone you think might benefit from listening. Check out our website at coachingwithroy.com and tune in every week for more insights and wisdom on creating healthy, lasting, conscious relationships.